life. Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Shout glory. Rear your head back and say all right. Say all right. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, hey, hey. I feel good. Anybody know? I feel Jesus. I feel him down on the inside. I feel Jesus. He's in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, you can be healed. You can be changed. You can be touched. Anybody want him to touch you? Say, Lord, touch me. Lord, change me. Lord, rearrange me. Lord, heal me. Lord, touch my children. Make a way for them. Rearrange their minds. Touch their hearts. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, touch them. Lord, help my community. Touch them. Change their hearts. Change their minds. Glory be to God. I need a life-changing experience. So what happened? After Ananias laid hands on him, the Bible says that the scales fell off his eyes and he was able to see again. And a few verses down, he preached. Oh, come on and say amen. Now he began to preach and contend with the Hellenists and other Judaizers to let them know that Christ Jesus had came, hung on a cross. Oh, I wish I had somebody that he lived down here, came through 39 prophets, fought in two generations, that he took up a cross, went up an ugly hill called Golgotha. But when he got there, it was called Calvary. He died, but he didn't stay dead. The sun refused to shine. A centurion began to preach and say, surely, surely, he is the Son of God. But when he died, the Bible says, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So Joseph barred the tomb, put him down in the tomb. But the Bible says that on the third day, the earth began to quake and the rock rolled away and he got up early. Early Sunday morning with all power. Anybody know this power?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Hampton, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
The scriptures that were read in your hearing is where I'm coming from today. Psalm number 113, 1 through 5. But I just want us collectively to read verse 5. Verse 5. When you have it, say amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 113, verse 5. Begin reading now. May we sit down in the presence of God. Thank you so much. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. There's no one like the Lord. No one like the Lord. Can you help me say that today? No one like the Lord. We know there is no one, so all we have to say is no one like the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, it is so good to know that you've got a God that cannot be compared to or with, and I am grateful for that. Let's back on up to verse 1, and I'll try and get through as much of this as I possibly can. Verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. And then the last part of that says, praise the name of the Lord. There are those who tell us in the Eastern culture and in the religious realms, there are three divisions or disciplines of study. There is the scholarly interpretation, there is the traditional interpretation, and then there is the personal interpretation. The scholarly interpretation is more concerned with the viewpoint from the writer of the text. The traditional interpretation is concerned more with what the reader gets from the text. But the personal interpretation is the man or woman or girl or boy who finds the message for them in the text. One of the things that you'll note is the fact that there are three times praise the Lord is commanded in these 17 words. The first word of the A section, praise ye the Lord. Praise is the first word. The last two words of that first verse or the first A section says the Lord. Praise the Lord. The B section says, praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Again, praise, the last two words, the Lord. The C section says, praise the name of the Lord. Again, the first word, praise, the last two words, the Lord. Now, if you go back to the A section, the only word that's not spoken is ye, because praise the Lord takes three words, and there are only four words in the A section. But there's a reason for it, because if you're looking at it, it says praise ye. Praise ye means praise you, the Lord. That would be from the writer's vantage point. But the reader's standpoint says, praise ye the Lord. But the personal interpretation of that is a little different. It says, if you take the ye, that's the word we're working with right now. When it says, praise ye, you, there is another way that the interpretation of those who are personal and intimate with God would see that. You take the Y off and add an M, and it would say, praise me, the Lord. In other words, I begin to recognize when I read scripture that God has written this, and it may be through various personalities, but the message is from God to me. So when it says, praise ye, and I read it, I read, praise me, the Lord. But there's another reason why I transfer the Y, or change rather, the Y to the M. It's not only just to say me, but it is because there is something more important in that, and that means my or mine experiences. See, when I praise the Lord from my experiences, there are three things that happen in that praise. The first thing is the praise becomes personal. I'm not just praising to be praising. I'm praising because I have a reason to praise him. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I can't help but praise him for myself, even if I have to do it by myself. That's right. So the first thing I recognize is it's personal to me. Praise is personal to me. And I notice why some people can't get into praise. It's because their praise is not personal. They don't think of the reasons why they should be praising, why they ought to be lifting up the Lord, why they should not keep their mouths closed when they think back to his goodness. And that's part of the problem. They don't think. A lot of them think that they've gotten there on their own. They did it on their own with no help from the Lord. But you've got to keep in mind, he brought you. He taught you. He kept you. And he's taking you to where he wants you to be. He's worthy of the praise. But the second thing you need to recognize about me praise is that the praise is precious. Precious. Because when you praise God from deep within, it becomes that part of you that is most like God, that honors God, that truly lifts him up, that gives him the glory that he deserves. And sometimes those praises have got to be in a place where you're all by yourself. Because there are some things God has done and God is doing, or you expect him to do. You can't tell nobody else. But when you can tell him thank you and praise him and glorify him, it becomes precious, precious, not only to you, but to God. And then thirdly, that praise becomes powerful, and it evokes feelings and emotions. It causes you, listen, to want to shout and to want to smile and to want to rejoice and to want to give him the glory. It evokes things out of you you don't even plan. You said you wasn't going to tell nobody. You got to praise him and you couldn't keep it. Am I talking to anybody in the house? And so praise must be personal, it must be precious, and it must be powerful when you're talking about me. That's called a personal reason. But section 8, personal reason. That's why we praise him, because we have a personal reason. The B section says, praise all ye servants of the Lord. Praise, oh, we know O is emphatic. We know that it places emphasis on the servants now, praising the Lord. Now, what's interesting about it, praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Now, what's interesting about this is the fact that the ye still includes me. But when I put it in the personal context, it's not just me. You drop the Y and add a W, and it's we. Praise, O we servants. Anybody in the house with me this morning? Of the Lord. Why? Because it's a collective effort of giving God praise. It is a public responsibility. Somebody say public responsibility. It's only a public responsibility if you belong to the Lord and you're a servant of the Lord. If you back to the 100th Psalm, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye what? Lands. And that means people. And then what it goes on to say in verse 2, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You see, God wants the people who serve him to be glad in worshiping him. We come in here to worship him, but we leave out of here to serve him. And we serve him with the word, we serve him with our witness, and we serve him with our works. But we serve it unto men. In other words, when we serve the Lord, our service should be even a thing of praise. When people see us serving the Lord, they ought to see the joy in our hearts. They ought to see God is dealing with us and doing something with us and using us for his glory and for their good. So we know the B section is talking about a public responsibility. Praise, O we servants of the Lord. When the word says ye here, now making it we here, tell your neighbor it's talking about you and me. Come on, tell your other neighbor it's talking about you and me. Because see, if y'all were with me, I wouldn't have to tell you do that. And it's strange that you can do all the other kind of things you want to do, but when it comes to praising God, you get quiet. When it comes to praising God, you ain't got nothing to say. You can't think of nothing. But oh, when Southern was almost whipped in the last moments of the game, and they pulled it off, I could hear him stomping at my house, cheering at my house. I'm trying to help somebody understand you can't give nobody in the world more praise, more glory, more anything that gives an uplifting moment than to God. Especially ye servants. We ought to rock the roof every Sunday morning. People pass by this church, they ought to see the roof dancing. Man, it looked like that roof gonna come off the house. The saints of God are reaching all the way up to heaven in praising God. So we know there's a personal reason, but then we know that there is a public responsibility. And then we move to section C. Praise what? The name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this is different because we had ye, which we turned to me. We had he, which we turned to we. But we're going to leave thee. Let me say that again. We're going to leave praise the name of the Lord. Why? Because when you understand it in the context of praise the name of the Lord, it's talking about a proper relationship with that name of God that best suits you and that satisfies you and that gives to you the substance necessary to call his name. In other words, one of the good things about our God is he is so powerful, he is so magnanimous, he's so great and wonderful and all of these things that there's no one name that can describe him. There's no one name that can call on him. There is no one name that can suit who he is or speak of who he is. There is no one name that would justify the greatness of our God. How great is our God? We've got to know, brothers and sisters, that many of us don't really know our God the way God wants us to know him. And that's why many of us don't get excited about the name of the Lord. Now, when it says here, praise the name of the Lord, it's not just saying praise one name or one name that you know of the Lord. Here is what the reference is. When you are praising the Lord, you are praising him for who he is. You thank him for what he's done, but you're praising him for who he is. But inclusive of who he is what he does. But here's what I'm trying to help you understand. The psalmist here is implying when we praise the name of the Lord, if God has done anything for you, well, let me back up a little bit and say, first of all, the name of God was so sacred that the people of God didn't use his proper name. And so they used many times Lord. But when they did use it, they were careful to use it correctly and properly. And they did not make small or light of that holy name. So let me help you understand. When you are praising the Lord from your own experience, and God has provided something for you that none other could provide, that if he hadn't done it, you wouldn't have gotten it. When you praise him, you say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord or my Lord that provides. See, I'm using the name that is in relationship with me that I've had a personal experience with. If there's a situation in my life where, like David said, the Lord is my shepherd, then when I praise him and I say Jehovah Rohi, that means shepherd, the Lord of the fact that I shall not want, because he shepherds me. He provides for me. He takes care of me. But let's say I'm sick, as the devil many times challenges me. Then I call on Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth me. And when I praise him, I call that name Jehovah Rapha. But every now and then, when the devil is on my trail and the hellhounds are on my back, I have to call Jehovah Tsidkenu, the God of my righteousness. And then listen, when I hear him in my ear with that small voice giving me peace that passeth all understanding, I said, Jehovah Shalom, God of my peace. And I can keep on going, but that's what it means when it says, praise the name of the Lord. Now listen at this. When you understand that, then you move on to verse 2, because that's why it's in the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Well, what is the psalmist saying? Now that you understand the name, you can bless the name. Happy are ye when you call the name. You know how to give him glory through the name. And so when you bless that name that's already blessed, it literally means to add your blessings to what's already blessed. Somebody didn't get that. When you talk about the goodness of the Lord, when you lift up the Lord, when you tell folk of how wonderful he is, you're adding your blessings to the name that's already blessed. Blessed be, it already is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now he tells us, and it's connected with James when he says, when you know better, you do better. So that means now that you know, how many of you know God is something about his name? God is something about his name. And the more about God you learn through the different names that you are in relationship with him and he does in your life, and you get used to calling that off, it brings you into a closer and more personal relationship with God, because you stop seeing him as a one-dimensional God. But he's a God who can meet your not only many, but every need. And so when we say, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth means now that you have learned, now that you know better, you bless him now and forever. More. You see, one of the things about the Jewish people was the fact that when they learned something about the Lord, they implemented it in their lives. There was a special group of people called the Bereans, and the Bereans, many times when they'd hear a word, they would go and research that word and check it out, make sure those things were. So when they were able to apply those things to their lives. And it's important for us to understand what is written in this word is not here for our hearing only, but for our what? Learning. Romans 15 and 4. For our learning. And that's our problem. We sit up in church and we hear, but we don't learn. We listen, but we don't learn. Some of us think that we have memories whereby once we hear it once, we got it forever, so we don't have to jot no notes down. You know, we're too big for that. Our minds, we have the ability to place every single word we've heard. And there are people who have that ability. And when they do that, they also have the ability